Tonight we want to start a new series of messages in our Wednesday night studies. We've just come off the study of the names of God, which has revealed to us the person and the perfections of the Lord. Tonight we want to consider, or begin to consider, a more practical study in relation to our Christian living. You'll see there on your outline we begin that the New Testament epistles have a simple formula in them, one that is helpful for us in our own studies. As you go through, especially Paul's epistles, you're going to find a very simple pattern. Each of those epistles is going to begin with a doctrinal section. And so you're going to read the doctrine that he wanted to portray or teach to the church to whom he writes. But each of those doctrinal sections is followed by practical application. And seeing that we have just come off a doctrinal study of the names of God, I want to take some time and look at some things from the standpoint of practical application with respect to the walk of the believer. If you study the New Testament, you'll find that there are several commonly understood illustrations that are used to help us in our Christian experience. If you look through your New Testament, you're going to find that our Christian experience is often compared to an athletic contest. Often, our Christian life was compared to a race that needs to be run, a match that needs to be won. We are called upon to strain and to exercise ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Often our life is compared to an athletic contest. And so many times the illustrations that are given are sports and their relations of a race that needs to be run. But you know, our Christian life is also related to or compared to an armored conflict. We're reminded that we're in the midst of a spiritual battle. This conflict's going to continue as long as we live upon the earth. We have a battle within and we have a battle without. We wrestle with our flesh and we war with the principalities and the powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 makes that conflict very clear. We're told to put on the whole armor of God that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The other illustration, though, that we often find in the New Testament is to relate our Christian experience to a continuous journey or a walk. It is this thought that I want to consider over the next few weeks. And our series is simply entitled, The Walk of the Believer. Tonight I want us to understand that the believer's walk in this world is to be a worthy walk. Therefore, I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, with me to the book of Ephesians and the fourth chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4 and all the way through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul is addressing in that section the walk of the believer. And we're going to look at the various things that he challenges us with as we walk in this Christian life. Look with me at verse 1, which is going to help us see the necessity of a worthy walk. Paul writes and says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He's going to go on then in verse 2 and speak of the need for lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, to forbear one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, reminding us that we are of a one body and one Spirit, even as we are called of one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But Paul wants to address the issue of our walk, and he says, as he begins his practical section of the book of Ephesians, that we are to walk worthy of our vocation, worthy of our calling. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our study Then we'll pick up and consider a few things together tonight. Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight that we can come to the Word of God. We thank you that in this book we find practical lessons for the way in which we live. Lord, the way in which we walk. Lord, I ask and pray that you would help us each and every one to understand the truths as they're laid out for us in the Holy Scripture. And Lord, that we would practically apply these things to our experience as a believer, as a Christian, that we might be truly worthy of the Lord. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for our time, for our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, in the previous three chapters of the book of Ephesians, is addressing the multitude of blessings that have been bestowed upon us as believers. He talks to us about the wonderful joys and privileges that our God has given to us. The church has been called upon to reflect upon their salvation. They've been called upon to reflect upon their new privilege as the church, the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's actually going to reveal that this concept of the church is a new concept. It had always been a mystery. The Old Testament believer never saw nor understood the concept of the church. They saw the Messiah and they saw the kingdom, but they never saw the cross. And they never saw this age, the church age. And this is a new concept. And so Paul relates to them the wonderful privilege of the church, the body of Christ. And he now calls upon the church to walk worthy of these blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul makes this wonderful statement that we have been given all spiritual blessings. And that we have been made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual things. In light of all of those blessings, in light of the wonderful truth of our salvation that we find in Ephesians chapter 2, in light of the wonderful blessing of being part of the body of Christ, we are now called upon to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. The idea of this challenge is that we ought to live so that others deem us deserving of the blessing. That's the idea of the term worthy. The idea there is that one is deemed to be deserving. Would the way in which you live, or the way that I live, would that cause others to judge us as worthy of the name of Christ? Would they look upon your life and my life, and would they see that that is one who's a follower of Christ? That they claim that name, and they are worthy of such a name. You understand that the word Christian wasn't something we took upon ourselves. It was a term given. Those are followers of Christ. Many today call themselves Christian. It seems to be the popular thing to do. We seem to put everyone into one of two categories. Right now in our world, at least, you either seem to be a Muslim or you're a Christian. But the reality is, not all who claim the name of Christ are worthy of such a name. Would your life and my life really be worthy of such a title? That's the challenge that Paul was given. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You have been made a child of God through His wonderful salvation by grace alone. You have been placed into the body of Christ, a privilege that no one else till this point has really experienced. It is unique for you and me. You and I are the bride of Christ. The Old Testament saint is not. We are. With all of those wonderful blessings,
Are you walking worthy of the name of Christ? Are you walking worthy of that salvation that you've been given? Tonight I want us to see how we can ensure that we will walk worthy. And there are four considerations that I believe we must keep before us if we're going to be deemed deserving of God's spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 is the first thing that we must consider, and that is this. We must consider our calling in Christ. We must consider our calling of Christ. If we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we are to do so as we consider that calling. Paul says that we are to walk worthy of the vocation. That word there really means calling. We are to work worthy of our vocation, of the calling that we have been given. What have you and I been called as Christians? Can I remind you of a couple things? Three tonight. Number one, as a Christian, we are called to be the sons of God. You and I have been called to be the sons of God. When you and I were saved by the grace of God, we were made to be part of the family of God. We were adopted by Him. Now we are called the sons of God. I want you to look at a couple passages with me tonight, just briefly. Turn to John chapter 1, first and foremost. John chapter 1. If we're going to consider and walk worthy of the Lord, we must consider our calling. And first, we've been called to be the sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12 reminds us, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." As the Apostle John would later write his epistles, we're going to find these wonderful words in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. John would later write and say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Consider tonight that you and I have been called to be the sons of God. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful joy it is to know that God in heaven has called you His son. Why? Because you received the Lord Jesus Christ. "And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be the sons of God." Let me ask you a question tonight. Who were you before Jesus Christ? Who were you before?
Child of the devil.
You were the child of the devil. Ephesians chapter 2, by the way, reminds us that we were by nature the children of wrath. Now, we are called the sons of God. Hey, Christian, walk worthy of that calling. You've been called a son of God. You know what else you've been called? We are called the followers of Christ. Not only are we the sons of God, but we have been called to be the followers of Christ. Once a son of God, we are now to be called upon to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be conformed to His image, and in this the Father delights. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The Lord Jesus finds Peter and Andrew, Verse 19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Turn now to Matthew 16, and look with me at verse 24. Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hey, Christian, you and I have been called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I'll give you my opinion on something. There is the term Christian. Some are happy to take that name. And some assume that every Christian is a disciple of the Lord, and in essence, they're not. But I think it's interesting, why would you take the name of Christian, a follower of Christ, if you're not willing to accept the conditions of what it means to be a follower, which is to be his disciple? To me, it's an oxymoron to call yourself a Christian and not be also his disciple. But there's many who want to walk that road. But here's the problem. We're not walking worthy of our calling. We have been called to be his disciples. You know, it's not enough just to be happy to be a Christian. We ought to want to be his disciple. We ought to want him to be working within our life and changing us and conforming us into his image. We should strive to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And a disciple is one who commits himself to taking up his cross, denying himself, and following the Lord wherever he would lead. That road's not always an easy road, but you and I have been called to be followers of Christ. We've also been called to be brothers in Christ. Sometimes we forget this wonderful privilege that's ours. To walk worthy of the Lord, we have to consider the calling in Christ. We're called the sons of God. We are called the followers of Christ. But we are also called to be brothers in Christ. Once we've been saved, we've been placed into the body of Christ. And as such, we become part of the family of God. We are now to walk in a way that reflects well upon our family, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, that's really the challenge of the rest of chapter 4 through verse 16 of the book of Ephesians. We're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond and peace under one Spirit, one Lord, one faith. He's going to go on and talk about the fact that gifts have been given to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That we be perfected to do the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of Christ and we learn to edify one another in love. Why? Because we're part of a body. We've been talking about that Sunday mornings under the term, the concept of unity. Folks, you and I are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy. But we are to walk worthy of that calling. If you and I are going to be walking worthy, then consider your calling in Christ. Sons of God, followers of Christ, brothers in Christ. But yet there's another consideration. We need also to consider the God who called you. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would, this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians 2, look at verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That we would walk worthy of God. If we are going to walk worthily as a Christian, We must not only consider our calling, we must consider the God who called us. We are to walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory. If we're going to walk worthy, then we have to consider God who has called us. It's because of his mercy and his grace that we are saved. Seeing that he called us to his kingdom and glory, should we not then seek to live unto his glory? What have we just come off of on Wednesday nights? What have we been considering? The very God who called us. Hey, we're to walk worthy of his name. Because he called you. Folks, we came to Christ because he sought us. He drew us unto himself. He called you and he called me to his kingdom, to his glory. By the way, you and I were not worthy of that kingdom or glory. We are sinners. We went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. We fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, but he is holy. When you see and understand the glory of God, you will find it related to his holiness. But he called you to his kingdom. He called you to his glory. All that we do should be done for his glory, that his name be exalted by all who watch the way that we live. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If your life and my life is to be considered a worthy walk, then we need to consider the God who called us. But third, we need to consider the Lord who saved us. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 10. Paul is here praying for the church in Colossae. Verse 9 says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." In order to walk worthy, we not only need to consider our calling and the God who called us, we need to consider the Savior, the Lord, who saved us. Paul says that we are to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. When you consider the steps you take, should we not consider the impact of those steps upon the testimony of the one who saved us? Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for you, for me. He died and bore your sin upon his own body on the tree. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that you're a Christian and as you walk in the experience of the Christian life, should we not consider that the steps we take and how they reflect upon the testimony of the Lord who saved us? Folks, you can't separate your life that you live and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. The way that you live reflects upon his name. That's how Paul is praying for the saints of Colossae to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Is the way that we live day by day pleasing to the one who gave his life to free us from bondage of sin, to make the way possible for us to enter into the kingdom of his Father? Consider the Lord in your walk. He died for you. He gave his life for you. What you do reflects upon his name. You know, no matter what we do in life, we understand that concept. I remember on our first mission trip that I took with my home church, we were traveling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Arishat, Nova Scotia. It's about 24 hours in a 15-passenger van, filled to the max. The one thing I did not like about that van was this. Right on the side of the van, the church's name, information, address, phone number was all printed there. Now you take a 24-hour trip in the van and you're the one single guy on this trip, and you've packed the back of the van with all of the gear for the families, and you've been given the one little itty-bitty spot left in the back because that's where your seat will be. You want the drivers to get there as fast as humanly possible. I have never been a little skinny guy. So for me to sit with everything packed around me was not comfortable, nor was there much room to put my legs. We had one fellow there who kept saying this, "Guys, don't go over the speed limit, because remember, the name of the church is on the side of the van." I kept thinking to myself, I really wish that name wasn't there, because the way we drove reflected upon the church. By the way, philosophically, whatever vehicle we have, we never put the name of First Baptist on it. Because if someone's driving recklessly, I don't want that to be our testimony. Bunch of crazy people over there at First Baptist. And it won't be me, by the way, anyway. I drive very safely. I can't say I drive slow, but I drive safely. But the reality is this. You live your life in such of a way that reflects the name of Christ. Consider that in your walk. Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Finally, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, reminds us that we should consider the gospel that we present. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You might look at that and say, well, Pastor, the word worthy isn't there. It actually is. Our manner of living, our conversation, is to be becoming of the gospel. That little phrase there, as becometh, as it becometh, is the very same word that we find in the other three passages translated worthy. It's the same Greek word. Here it's translated as it becometh. When you and I live our life, we should consider the gospel we present. We are called upon to walk in a way that causes others to consider the gospel to be worthy of consideration. How can we as his ambassadors think that others will take seriously the gospel when our lives contradict the very message that we proclaim? So as we walk, consider the gospel. As you live, consider the gospel that you present. Some folks seem to get that confused. Well, I can live wherever I want, but I'll go ahead and share the gospel. Doesn't matter where I go, I'll go down into the bars and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to have a beer with everyone just to let them know I'm just like one of them. Here's the problem. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like them. I remember years ago receiving a phone call wanting to know if someone could come and present his biker ministry at our church. I said, "The what? My biker ministry." I said, "Could you please just define that for me?" Literally, you've heard of the Hell's Angels and you know the testimony that they have. Well, we wanted to be like them, but we're a motorcycle group that goes around and preaches the gospel. We go where they go. Probably not the best ministry model to follow. Consider the gospel that we preach. Paul tells us that we as a Christian are to walk worthy of our calling. As we live and as we walk this life through the Christian experience, we should consider our calling. We are sons of God and followers of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We should consider the God who called us, the Lord who saved us, and the gospel that we present, that we might be a people truly pleasing unto the Lord. As you walk, walk worthy of the Lord. Let's pray.